You see, the old Dalton Trail John Maloney's father was one of the original, you might say, incorporators, if they incorporated that time, and they in putting it through, and he has all these records.
That's
about the whole damn thing.
All the records. But I think he's a procrastinator. He'll be very hard to get them out of.
Well, I don't want the records. I just, you know, they should be preserved somewhere. I don't want them, but they should be preserved in historical archives somehow.
Right.
Here's Belle Simpson. Have you talked to Belle Simpson?
She's
seen quite a story. Here's her picture on the front page.
Well, the here on this in this
she could give you a lot of stories.
Oh, she'd be full of stories.
Oh,
I don't know whether I believe them or not. I don't think the Indians ever captured her.
Charles just told me that he, when I was here in the spring, he showed me this list of the Yukon, no, the 87 pioneers, and he said the only member, only person on that list, charter member of the 87 pioneers, who's still alive is Belle Simpson. And he said she was.
That could be, yes.
Belle Goldstein.
Yeah,
she was born here.
Belle Goldstein, and she married
Simpson.
And
she was born here.
Right.
And she was, I think, born here in 1887, so that qualified her to belong.
Yeah,
so
she was about 10 years old.
So she had to be 10 years old if that was taken away. If that picture's in the 1887.
You got her birthday, 1887?
No, I'm just, what I said was Charlie Skuse. Gave me this little piece of paper that listed all the charter members of the 87 pioneers. And you had to be in Alaska or born here by 1887 to belong. And he said there's only one person still living who belongs to that, and that's Belle Simpson. Now, he's the secretary of the Igloo. That's what he told me.
I think that'd be almost right.
I think he is too.
They have pictures of the whole, of a lot of members.
Yeah.
You know, about the 87 pioneers. They have pictures of them there in the Pioneer Hall.
About 87 years old.
Now my dad was not here when the thing was organized. He was up in the interior, up someplace.
Yeah.
Though he belonged to it later, but he was not from that original group.
I think they organized that about 1901 or so.
Somebody, and we were, God knows where the hell he was then. In fact, I think he was up in Athens.
Well, I see a picture of Belle Simpson when she's about 10.
39.
She's always out in front. 14. She's in the front row, she would be. She's always out in front of everything.
She's quite a character.
They used to, you know, I worked for the newspaper there in Fairbanks for about 12 years.
This depends on when her birthday is. She's 89.
Used to tell a story about Senator Greening, that he knew whenever there was a group of dignitaries around,
that
he knew if he got next to the
pioneer's father.
You know, if there were seven people in the picture, and the main character was in the middle, he'd always get right next to him, because the editors, if they're trying to crop a picture down, cut it down, you know, and just get three or four people in, they'll always cut the people on the side off.
Oh, yeah.
That was a story they used to tell about Senator Greening. You see a lot of pictures of Greening, and of course he was a newspaper man. I thought that was pretty, you know, pretty scoopable.
Oh, yeah. Would you figure out 89?
Yeah. Ina Lucas went to her brother's 50th wedding anniversary. And Belle made the remark then. She says, I remember the wedding. I was 4 years old when they got married.
Oh, 54.
So in 19, she was 54 in 39. And 39 from 74 comes out something different, something 39, see?
It'd be 39.
So she's 89. 50.
89.
She's qualifying for that, all right.
Well, she'll be 90 next year, isn't that?
I don't know when her birthday is. I have no idea, and I don't think her son knew, not her doctor's son.
No, their son doesn't.
Because I asked Bob, I said, how old is your mother? I said, it's none of my damn business, but I said, I'm just curious. I'm wondering how much older she is than I am. She's so darn skookum and healthy. And he says, hell, I haven't any idea how old she is.
But she was born here in Juneau, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe there are no records.
She was the youngest of the whole Goldstein tribe, so she... I don't imagine Izzy was born here, was he?
That I can't tell you.
I don't know.
Somebody said the other day, telling us, wasn't it, that the doctor got married again?
Dr. Simpson?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he's married again.
Yeah.
Just recently?
Oh, not too recently, 3 or 4 years ago.
Doctor who?
Dr. Simpson.
Bob.
He just had heart surgery.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had heart surgery. I just saw him here last winter.
He's a heart specialist. He says, can you imagine? He says, I do everything I tell my patients to do, and here I have to have heart surgery.
Yeah. He's one of the best diagnosticians on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Her son. Dr. Bob Simpson in Seattle.
In this, I went to see him this time.
In this edition of the
thorough
of the Beaver.
Not as thorough and not narrow.
It tells about the first Jew. Oh, here, the title of it is the earliest Jews in Winnipeg, 1874 to 1882.
The earliest
Jews, yeah. Just as good.
Yeah, Winnipeg was good too.
I don't know.
And.
But
the
so
first,
busy.
Just having them, the first name
yes,
I just mentioned,
I have
Reuben Goldstein. Well, I knew Goldsteins were from Anna Goldstein originally. It was from Canada.
I see whenever I see him.
Well, on a little investigation, that must be Reuben Goldstein
because
that's his name.
Well, what's the beaver? Well, how much time did you spend with Simpson?
Oh,
how long did he take? Couple days.
He didn't take very long.
Just one
well,
day.
You know, I had to go to different places. I had to go different places.
Oh.
He sent me down on the 6th floor for...
Oh, in the same building. A blood test?
No, skull x-ray.
Oh, my God.
Well,
Did that hurt?
No. Oh, yes, it hurt because he twisted your neck around all different positions.
Well, they look at your brain, huh?
No, just your bone structure, I guess.
Oh. Did you have headache or something?
I have a funny headache here every once in a while.
Or well, maybe tension, huh?
No, it could be anything.
What'd he say then? It was okay?
Well, he said, it came out all right, nothing wrong there. I think it's medication. Every time they change my medication, I get something crazy.
Yeah, that'll throw you off.
That'll throw me off. So I'm going to...
Then you had to take other tests, did you?
Yeah, then they sent me to the, I can't pronounce it, the one where they, it's a cardiograph of your brain. That's where they stick needle. I said, my God, is this acupuncture? It can't be. The needles are too darn tough. My God, it's just like nails in your head. And she laughed and said, no.
Do you get this
regular
publication?
I subscribe to it.
Once in a while.
It only comes out 4 times a year.
Well, what they do, get the rhythm of your brain?
I don't know what it does.
Did they take blood tests too?
Oh, yeah.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
No, it's all done in the same building, is it?
No, they had to go to the Swedish hospital for this brain thing.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't got the bill yet either.
Oh. Send them Medicare.
Huh?
Send it to Medicare.
Well, I have to have them all for it and send them. I haven't got all the bills yet because they went all over the place.
Well, the Navy will take care of it, won't they?
Hmm?
Doesn't the Navy take care of all that?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Medication. We have one, but I don't know. I suppose you have to do both. I don't know. I didn't ever get send the first one. What's the first
one? Have you ever been called a petty jury?
Is Zellman
still at the grand jury once?
Well, I'm supposed to appear the 10th.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's.
So I wonder what that's like.
She's
when
been
you just go there,
building a
just
an apartment house.
And they question you if you're qualified.
Another one,
and then
yeah,
they don't pick out so many. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she has one out on
might be kind of
road.
Fun,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, she does.
Oh, I didn't like this grand jury.
So here I go.
His tongue might be a little bit swiveled.
But anyway, what about what are all these volumes? And there, you have, must have hundreds of 8x10 pictures.
Well, about
6,000 plus.
5 or 6,000, something like that.
Is that right?
Yes.
Who has the negatives?
Well, I've made the negatives.
You take pictures of old historic
pictures. That's right. That's
negatives.
The only way we could get them.
Yeah.
And see, Bob Dearman and I started in, when Frank Heisman first went into office. The reason I can name that is that happened to be the incident in the high school when they wanted, when the grandchildren came around and said,
Your grandchildren?
Yes, Neil and Kathleen,
kids.
Our own kids. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, hell, I said, that's nothing to it. I said, we'll go over to the museum and get pictures of the real thing, and then I'll tell you what was going on. Well, when I went over there, and he says, oh, Kiton, hell, he says, I haven't got time to bother with that stuff. He says, I haven't got any room. Well, in fact, he didn't. And so Bob and I started in. We borrowed, and let it be known that we were doing this. We borrowed pictures and negatives. In fact, one of the big finds at the time was the Winter and Pond. Lloyd Winter had died, and Percy Pond was gone. And this Harrison that was running the place had no interest. We were able to copy all of his pictures. Unfortunately, so many of them had been ruined through ignorance. And of course, Madge Case, or Madge Wade. Well, see, my brother is married to Madge's sister.
Was.
Or was married. She died some years ago. So anyway, I had a connection there, and we borrowed them. Then we, after having the original negatives of 98 and earlier, a picture without description of what the contents of the picture are isn't worth a damn. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, at that time, contemporaries of the picture were still living, and I knew all of them. And I'd go to B.M. Barron's and I'd say, now say B.M. so-and-so, and he'd laugh, yeah, I had to shingle that roof, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. And I'd write that on the, I wouldn't, Hazel would write that on the back of the picture. And he'd also tell me who so-and-so was and who so-and-so was. So each picture was described and, if possible,
identified
by name. And as I say, so many of the contemporaries were still living, they were able to fill out. And all of those we turned over to the Historical Museum. First of all, I had all of this stuff accumulated in the house, and we were getting ready to go south, and Hazel said, my God, you've got to do something with your pictures. The house could burn down. What are you going to do about it? So, of course, the contents of the library, you might say, were irreplaceable because you couldn't start in and do it over again. So we gave the whole damn thing to the museum. What happened that winter? They had a fire.
Destroyed.
Some of them were destroyed, and some pictures that are absolutely irreplaceable. Here was that picture of given to this state by the descendants or so of the Rivella Gigado, this Spanish so and so, but the curator at the time apparently it was some woman, I don't know who she was. didn't realize that she was taking these oily rags, and they were oiled with floor oil, and storing them in this closet. There was airtight, and right alongside of several radiators. And she did lose some beautiful pictures. Now there were some. There were some watercolors by
Crumrine.
A lot of Crumrine, but we were able to replace most of them. But there was that daughter of. She was married to that customs officer over in Sitka. Anyway, too bad. They were original pictures and irreplaceable. But most of it could have been recovered, mm-hmm. except all of the. Transparencies. Now they had positives as well as negatives of so many of them, mm-hmm. and the old museum used to have these all around all the walls had these transparencies, certain creeks, mining and so things like that. They were damn near all ruined, but the actual negatives we were able to we had already replaced by copying
the original photos.
Yeah. So we were able to go back in and salvage all of that. The only thing that ruined was the album, picture album. See, when I bought it, I thought, well, we'll give it to them first class. And I tried to make it so they could look at the picture, but still couldn't take it. So it all had cellophane wrappers on it.
Yeah.
And the wrappers, the cellophane did decompose with the heat.
But the fake pictures are okay.
The pictures were okay, yeah.
Right.
Now the.
Where are all your pictures now? At the historical.
In the historical library, yes.
Oh, I see.
And see, Bob is has pretty well. I think he's cataloged most of them. See, this junk I've got here. And all that junk in the room there, none of it's cataloged. But you have to page through and say, "Oh yeah, that's the picture I want." But
well, what about the negatives? Do you have them stored in a file?
I have not yet. No, they're still in back here.
Yeah, slides of all of these.
I have slides of them too. I have the negatives and the slides.
You keep them together?
No. They're 20 feet apart.
Are they in a fireproof section of the house?
Well, it is in the back closet over here that is. Oh, I thought I would probably turn this junk over. Now I have most of the. Not having anything to do, I've copied more of the pictures again, and that's what this pile of pictures are in here. And I thought I'd either, since we're gradually identifying them, I'd either turn them over to Skip to give to the college.
University of Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you have your own dark room here in the house?
Yeah. My own darkroom, my own enlarging, and all that.
You take the when you have a picture that you want to reproduce, you just put it on the plate, and then what kind of a camera do you use to photograph it?
Well, I didn't use the right camera. First, I used a Leica, then an Nikon, and actually, that held me to a 35mm.
Yeah.
Panax negative. Now, had I realized more, being absolutely ignorant of the whole damn deal, I should have bought a type of camera that I could still take small negatives, but I could use different types of film. So there's so many of them that I was not able to get a good duplicate of. I could have done so with a different type of film.
What kind of camera do you use now?
Right now, I'm got a Nikon,
No, I mean for your, the regular work you do, is it an Icon or?
No, most of them is a Canon.
35 millimeter. No?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've already stopped all that stuff, you might say. You get so damn few pictures. I take, if anything I really want to duplicate, I take it over to Bob and ask him if he'll do it.
What does Bob use? 2¼ by 2¼?
Two and a quarter, yes, I think that's what it is. Which I should have used.
Yeah.
But Bob, not knowing anything better,
You've done such a tremendous service in historical preservation.
Yeah, it's been
35 millimeter slide with an Icon. You can't beat it with a stick, I think. Of course, I'm an Icon fan. I got my own here.
Yeah, what do you? An Icon is just.
But they have a marvelous lens, and if you get a good negative that's in focus, you've got a damn good negative, whether it's 35 millimeter or larger.
Well, that's right.
But still, it's easier to work in historical files, it's easier to work with larger negatives.
Yeah, except now some of these badly painted or badly yellowed pictures. Had I been able to buy I can't even tell you the type of film. See, all I could get was a Pan film, and I'd try and work it with filters, but that would not have been as effective. Mm-hmm. Had I been able to use a 2¼, 2¼, where I could buy the different types of film.
Do you do your own developing?
Yeah. Well, that's right, the fun.
Yeah. Oh, I bet that is fun.
I'll come back here. I'll show you what I've got.
I used to come